It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
MMA The Max is brought to you by Gamefly and Gamefly.com. As a special thank you to you, our viewers and listeners, Gamefly is giving you all a free 30-day trial just by signing up at our link. Go to GameflyOffer.com/MMA to the Max and sign up now to receive a free 30-day trial with one game out at a time, exclusively for our listeners from Gamefly and Gamefly.com. We are also sponsored by Loot Crate and LootCrate.com. Loot Crate delivers monthly crate boxes filled with all sorts of memorabilia and content right to your front door. Now, for our viewers and listeners, Loot Crate is giving you all a 10% discount on any new subscription by using our links. Head to trylootcrate.com/MMA to the max, enter the promo code BRIDGE10, and instantly receive 10% savings on any new subscription. And now, start the show.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
And we are live for episode number 49 of MMA to the Max. I am your host, Robert Taylor, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host, the always average Riverside Joe, Joseph Hudson. How you doing this fine Thursday evening, Joe?
It's just another average day in the average city of Riverside, California, and the average life of the average Joe. Fucking good, man. How are you doing? Drinking some Red Bull and beer.
At least with every other week where the Red Bull is just what I drink because I like the taste and I like to stay up after the show. This is literally being used to keep me awake. I've been up since about 11:30 last night with this new position at work. So I'm fucking exhausted.
Is that missionary or doggy?
Well played.
That's clever. Well played. Thank
yeah,
you.
Very clever.
Every now and again, my friend.
Hats off to you on that one.
Oh, I forgot my bowler hat I was going to wear tonight.
Yeah, well. So, yeah, it's another episode of MMA Max. We're here. Let's get right down to it. It's a new week. It's a new drink.
It is.
What are you drinking this week?
Well, I was in a rush to get home because of traffic because there's a fire on the 91. So I am drinking a Neapolitan shake from In-N-Out that will pair very nicely with my Belching Beaver peanut butter milk stout that I have right here. I haven't cracked it open yet. I'm going to. This is, as I've had before, a delicious, scrumptious, yummy dessert stout. And that's why I figure it's going to pair well with my Neapolitan shake. I might, you know, just mix them together, you know, make it a float of some sort. What about you, man? What are you drinking?
Well, I decided to match you a little bit. I've made it known before. I think when I had we had Blake Stevenson guest on the show. I'm not a fan of peanut butter, like in general. So
yep.
I've never really gotten into the peanut butter stouts or porters that are very popular and very loved out there across the country. When you told me you were having the Belgian Beaver peanut butter milk stout, I decided, you know what, I might as well. I had one just sitting in my fridge. The fiance bought it. She left it in there, never drank it. So I just figured I'd grab it. And this is Track 7 Brewing Company's Nuck and Futz Imperial Peanut Butter Chocolate Cream Porter. So
language,
yeah,
family program.
Nuck and Futz, 7.3%, not too strong, an IBU of 20. So, we'll see, man. It's from Sacramento, California. We'll see how it is. I have not tasted it yet. It's sitting in my glass, and it's going down right now.
The virgin sip. What's that like? How's that feel your first time?
It's not too bad.
That's it's good not for too peanut bad. Butter,
it's,
right?
Yeah, it's not as peanut butter as I expected, so it's not too bad.
Yeah, the one from Belching Beaver here, it doesn't have it's not a very peanut butter forward either. It just adds like a nice little extra note, the roasted peanuts in it. It's fucking delicious.
Yeah, and I was going.
I love beer.
Mm-mm. Who doesn't? What red-blooded American doesn't love beer? Whether or not it's real beer, like what we drink on this show, or fake beer, like everybody, you know, most of the country drinks. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, communists. I don't know, people who aren't Americans. You know, people that have no place watching this show. Okay. Well, MAGA baby or GAGA, keep America great again. I don't know.
What the? Whatever. Hell? We're not bringing that into this show. Let's just get into it. Let's talk about the show. This past weekend was a semi-decent show. I mean, decently promoted show, I guess, on the internet. But UFC, their first visit to Idaho in Boise, the capital.
Idaho?
Yep, and capital. And they brought to us the former heavyweight champion, Junior Dos Santos, taking on former World Series of Fighting heavyweight champion, Blagoy Ivanov. And on the last episode, when previewing the show, I thought that Dos Santos was completely shot and Ivanov was going to catch him, but unfortunately for Ivanov, he just did not look like the same guy that he was in World Series of Fighter, even Bellator before that.
He looked like he had a little bit of the UFC headlights, deer in the headlights kind of thing going. He didn't perform like himself at all. His lack of aggression, his inability to want to move forward. Dos Anjos listened to the podcast and he did everything. Kept him on the outside of his punches, used good footwork, kept the distance, and was unable or didn't allow Ivanov to take him down, to get inside, to get the clinch, to dirty box, to do anything.
Yeah.
Dos Santos looked really – he looked really, really good. It's not just about Ivanov's poor performance. Dos Santos looked really good. Like, he did look good, good on his feet, good endurance.
He definitely did, except for his defense. His defense left a lot to be desired because even towards the end, he was still getting tagged by Ivanov. And for somebody like Dos Santos' striking versus somebody like Ivanov's, that shit shouldn't have happened.
So. Yeah, and you get a guy with more reach, like a Stipe Miocic or an Overeem or someone like that. Those are going to be connecting at full strength, not just at the end of his punches. So, yeah, but he looked good. As far as his stamina, that's what I was most impressed with, and his ability to stay moving. Yeah, he was getting tagged up a bit, though.
Yeah, I mean, he still started really putting it on Dos Santos towards the end, but I mean, Dos Santos really picked him apart for the most part in this fight and looked really good, especially coming off the long layoff. But I mean, a lot of people, you know, there was the whole proclamation online of Dos Santos is back, Junior Dos Santos is back. He's not back. He was hit too much by a guy who's just not as good of a striker, and you put him up against any of the top contenders nowadays, and I think he gets wrecked. I really do. I still think he does.
I still think that he does, too. Ivanov did perform poorly, but I was happy and I was impressed with Dos Santos. He wasn't as dead as maybe we thought he was. I thought he could do it if he used his boxing, and he did. So.
Yeah. I mean, he did. Well, obviously, he was going to. He wasn't going to the ground with a Sambo specialist, the guy who defeated Fedor in Sambo. Oh. So, yeah, that was not happening.
Fedor's handing out L's like they're fucking Tic Tacs right now, dude. What are you talking about? Or handing out W's and taking L's.
Not in Sambo, though. So.
No, this is true. This is true.
Yeah, so,
is
I
it
mean,
Sambo or Sambo? Because when you say Sambo, it sounds really racist.
Fuck if I know, dude. My dialect sometimes, my my grandma. I'm too tired to even think right now. I can't even think of the word, but
your enunciation.
Like, well, no. It's like I can't even think of the word right now. Colloquials or whatever. Okay. Anyways, I don't know where both guys go on from this next, but it's definitely not a great debut for Ivanov. I know he got a lot of sympathy online from a lot of people because you know, he almost died. So I mean, there's that. But yeah, I mean,
yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but he's got to make a lot. He's got to make a bigger impression in his next fight for sure. So somebody like somebody like Timothy Johnson if he was still here, but I think he got released. He signed with Bellator or something. But hey, co-main event action, welterweight. Sage Northcutt survives a scary first round for him. Like, he was dropped and his eyes rolled back in the back of his head on the very first punch that Otto caught him with. But he survived. He got back up, you know, went to the second round and just got the knockout, man, with hammer fist, which is seemed to be the theme for tonight for that show.
For that event, yeah. The thing that I was most impressed with was, as young as he was and relatively inexperienced as he was, he maintained a wicked amount of composure. When Otto was on top, had him in mount, he didn't seem frazzled. He was working the proper techniques, trying to pull him in, get his underhooks, tried to sweep, tried to go for, you know, a pass under the bottom, went for a leg. He was always active, always busy, and not once did he look like he was panicked. I was impressed with that. That was super impressive.
It's a far cry from the Northcutt was on bottom of Brian Barberina getting choked out without even being squeezed. So
and the Sage Northcutt that was underneath Mickey Gall getting pounded out.
Yeah, I mean he looked really good. This training at Alpha Male is really paying off for him.
Yeah, he looked really good. And now in the second round, when they started out on their feet, he was more engaged. He was keeping Otto right at the end of his punches, worked a couple. Got in close for a clinch, hurt him a little bit. Otto went down to go for that single leg. I liked, again, composed, smart, thoughtful. Otto had both hands on Sage Northcutt's ankles, and Northcutt steps on one of his hands to relieve the ankle. And then that, for whatever reason, Zach moved in forward and just opened up those wicked hammer fists. And really impressed with Sage Northcutt. Really, really impressed.
Yeah, put him right out, man. It was very, very impressive. And you know what? If he can continue to prove, then yeah, I mean, I think welterweight is his place. I don't think he should be cutting to lightweight. I mean, we talk about weight cuts before on the show, but you know, he's a big boy, and he's young, and he's going to get bigger. He's even talking about how he might be at 185 one day, and I could see it.
Possibly. The kid is huge, muscular.
Yoked.
Just jacked.
Fucking yoked, man.
It reminds me of me when I was 22, if I exercised and was good-looking.
I was going to say, and marketable. But
and marketable and talented, somewhat athletic. Any of those things.
And could throw a punch. But
all those things.
No, a good win at welterweight for Northcutt. It's his first win at welterweight. He was 0-2 before.
It is his first win at welterweight.
So
yep.
Good for him. Yep. In featherweight action, not so good for Dennis the Menace Bermudez. He drops his, fourth straight, third by split decision.
Third in a row by split decision.
And
Jesus.
He, you know, Rick Glenn gets the victory, and this was a big deal online, man. A lot of screams of robbery. I'm not going to ever go that far unless I can legitimately see a robbery, but
yeah.
I mean, you tell me that you score it for Dennis Ramirez, I ain't going to argue with you. I scored it for Rick Glenn just because I gave that second to Glenn because of the work he was doing in the stand-up, and then also when Bermudez did take him down, he wasn't doing anything in that second round with it. Glenn was attacking from the bottom.
Right back.
Yeah.
Took him down, pop right back up. Or, yeah, he was attacking for submissions, elbows. I scored it for Rick Glenn, though. Again, yeah, could have gone either way. Bermudez, I think the old scoring system back in the day was takedowns were almost like gold, like a knockdown or something.
And
you know what I mean? You get a takedown, like, oh, you win the round. I got two takedowns. Yeah, but you got picked apart. You got out-jabbed. You got out-kickboxed. And you took him down twice, and he scrambled back up, and you did nothing with it. How did you win? If your objective in this fight is to wrestle him, keep him on the ground and pound on him or just hold him down, whatever it is, if your objective is on the ground, yet you only spent 20, 30 seconds on the ground and you did nothing with that time.
Yeah.
And they're on the feet. They were jabbing and punching and doing more. So I think the judges are starting to pick up on that a little bit more.
Yeah, and it's good, and they should, especially in places where, you know, the new rules and judging criteria are in effect, even though the judging criteria should just be in effect everywhere. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, if you scored it for Bermudez, fantastic. I'm not going to argue and give you points why. I mean, we can have a discussion. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, though. But I thought the judges got the right call, except for the one judge that gave it 30-27 to Rick Glenn, because there's absolutely no way you give him that third round.
You cannot give him that third round. Not even as a gift.
Yeah.
Nope.
There's just no way. I mean, that was all Bermudez all day. I mean, not 10-8 worthy, but definitely, I mean, 29-28 either way.
Yeah, that's exactly how I saw it.
Yeah, which whoever you wanted to go with, it doesn't matter. So, the knockout of the night in this next fight, at least for me, because I've never seen it.
So pretty.
I've never, ever seen anything like this. But no. Nico Price KOs Randy Brown with hammer fist, but from his back. And
from the bottom.
From the bottom, and using his own foot to hold his chin in place while he does it. And Jesus Christ.
I don't know how you describe it, but fuck, dude. And then Nico hit him. I think the second one knocked him out, and he screamed at the ref, "He's out! He's out!" as he's hitting him in the face.
And he
dude.
Just keeps going. It was nuts. I honestly thought, okay, so Randy Brown was winning that fight.
Handedly winning that fight.
Yeah, and then
10-8 that first round, even. Or, you know what I mean? Like, he was whooping his ass.
And then Nico Price, I mean, he's down on his back. You think Randy Brown's going to get dominant position, and you turn to grab a drink or something, and you turn back, and it's like he's out. We're like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah. So, yeah, Nico went for a leg lock, and as Randy Brown went to defend it to unclasp his legs, left his chin open. Nico got his foot behind his head and just boom, boom, boom. It was beautiful. Ooh,
there's that peanut butter flavor.
Ooh, yummy.
It's a little too nutty.
I thought you liked nutty things.
Ha ha ha, bazinga. But no, that's great for Nico Price. And Nico Price once again shows that he's one of the best, most exciting fighters to watch in the division, if not all the UFC. Yeah, he's always got some shit going on, man. So, another guy to watch out for in the featherweight division, making his triumphant return after a two-year USADA suspension. Something that he said, you know what? It was a skin cream, but I'm going to take my suspension because it's on me, which a lot of other fighters should do, because it is, in the end, on you. And Chad Money Mendez makes his return.
Oh, I get it. The skin cream was on him. That makes sense.
Chad Money Mendez makes his return to the UFC and obliterates Miles Jury. I thought it was going to be a little more competitive.
Miles Jury had so much potential. Like, he was going to be a contender at 55.
Gonna be.
And then after his fight with Cerrone, something broken. Something happened. Cerrone didn't whoop his ass that bad, but Cerrone stole his soul. He hasn't been the same fighter since then.
That's because Cerrone literally kicked his ass. Jury was laying on his back.
Literally.
Cerrone literally kicked his ass multiple times.
Yeah. That dropped him to featherweight. I mean, I think he had one or two more at lightweight, and then went to featherweight.
That was it for lightweight. It? Yeah, he lost his first fight ever, dropped down, immediately lost to Charles Oliveira by chokeout, took some time off. I think he came back, he beat Rick Glenn, and then he just got knocked out by Money Mendez. So,
with the left hook from Mendez, which is new for him, looking good, getting some new tools on that time off.
Man, I'm telling you, I think we said it last week, man. If he just leaves Alpha Male and heads over to Bang Muay Thai, man.
Oh, yeah, because he's got the wrestling. He's not going to learn the striking. Fuck, Buckholz is gone from Alpha Male too. Last I heard, so it's like,
yeah, he took off. So, I mean,
well, Holdsworth is the—I don't know who their head striking. I know Holdsworth is one of their coaches there.
He's the jiu-jitsu coach. Like, that's about it, though, man.
That's right. He's the jiu-jitsu coach.
They tried to bring Martin Kampman in after, and he was there for a little while, but he's gone too.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So,
yeah, it didn't last because a lot of these guys with those kinds of names, unless they literally came from that camp, they don't want to be just a guy in a big camp. You know, they want their own name on. Well, Campman wants.
Just like Bang said, what Ludwig said about Uriah Faber, man, he's just a control freak and he wants it his way. He brings you in to try to teach a system, a skill, but Uriah at the end of the day is going to take all the credit and try to make it his. But so,
whatever it may be, yeah, he should just go come down here to Southern California, train at the training lab with his old buddy TJ Dillashaw, Bang Muay Thai. I mean, Archuleta is out here winning fights. Got Cub Swanson not winning his last fight, but still looking good. Jose Shorty Torres has been down here training with those guys, looking good. Juan Archuleta been down here training, looking fucking phenomenal in his last fight. So, Chad, come on down. The water's nice, buddy.
All right. I think it'd do him wonders. Definitely put him back into top contention. So I can't wait to see it, man. As for Jury, I mean, this just I think this might put a kibosh on his potential in my mind. I mean, he's just, like you said, he hasn't looked the same.
And then he goes back up to 55 where he's not sucking down weight, probably has a better camp, and just forgets about it all, man. Just goes back and does what he used to do, which is just kick people's asses.
Yeah, I hope it happens, man. I'm a big fan of his. I just don't think I don't see him as championship mold anymore. I just don't see it. It's just the way he fights now. He just looks way too timid, way different ever since the Cerrone ass kicking. So,
ever since that literal ass kicking.
Yep. But Cazzingano, man.
Wow, impressed.
Yeah, I was way off in this fight. I had written Zingano off. I was team Marion Renault the entire time, and she completely shut that shit down. And she looked really good.
Beat the fuck out of her, dude.
Sloppy, but she looked good.
Her striking is always leaves something to be desired, but her takedowns, her entries on her takedowns were pretty good. Her ability to hold Marion Renault down was incredible. Maintaining position, maintaining control on the top, beating the crap out of her for three rounds. Like,
yeah.
Kat looked fucking great.
Now, I mean, let's not just brush off the fact that Renault was also inexplicably pulling guard left and right in that fight. And with somebody whose top control is as heavy as Kat Zingano's, what the hell was she thinking?
I just, even though, again, Kat's striking wasn't great, she was landing the better of the punches. Renault didn't want to get punched anymore or something. But she was getting punched on her face on the ground. She just thought her jiu-jitsu would save her. I don't know.
Yeah, she was just trying to. I didn't understand the game plan behind that, especially when you're down two rounds to none and you're in the third round and you're going to pull guard again.
Yeah, just like we were watching the tough finale. Joe fucking whatever the hell his name is taking the third round off, right?
Yeah.
It's like, why do you take the third round off when you're clearly getting your ass kicked in the first two? It doesn't make sense. Or in his case, he was losing the second round and then gave away the third. But I'm real happy to see Kat like that. Hats off to her, man. She looked great. I know she's down at Alliance. She's got new training. She's got new physical therapy going on to help everything out that she's been going with physically, emotionally, and whatever. She fucking looked phenomenal, man. We'll see what she can do if she can get back on that contender train.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's her fight for 2018. I guess we'll see her next year. So,
well, she has been doing this physical training stuff that's supposedly helping. She does have an impressive victory over the current champion.
Come on, what? Man. I mean, call it impressive all you want.
Victory.
Yeah, call it all you want. The champion whooped her ass until the champion gassed. And
well,
so it wasn't that impressive. It was great that she managed to outlast her.
It was impressive that she TKO'd the champ.
This was Nunez as well before. But moving on.
Another impressive win over the current champ.
Yeah, whatever, take it. Moving on, another very contentious decision call, this time unanimous.
This, in my mind, was a robbery.
I can't call it robbery, but I disagreed with the decision 100%. But Alejandro Perez, who somehow manages to come on top of all these contentious decisions, defeating a former WEC Bantamweight champion, the very first Bantamweight champion, Eddie Wineland. And this was the best that Wineland's looked in a long time, and it's a shame.
Eddie looked fucking so good. He won that fight.
He won that fight.
He landed punches. So, okay, CompuStrike. He wins the CompuStrike. he was moving forward most of the time, which octagon control. Didn't land as many takedowns, but I don't see how he didn't win the fight. Like, it's not like a huge robbery, like it was a complete and total ass whooping, but he clearly won each and every round.
I see how he lost the fight. I mean, just in the eyes of the judges, like, not personally, but he marked up faster. He had the scar tissue. They look at the damage. That's literally what I mean. That's one of the issues I have with the new judging criteria, is they don't take into account who has the scar tissue, who breaks easier. So they just look at damage. He looked like he was getting more damage per round, and that's what the judges were looking at. And it's a shame.
And that's bullshit, because exactly, Perez landed 10 strikes, Wineland landed 30. Both of them landing significant strikes, but more of them were for Eddie Wineland than Perez. But Perez doesn't have scar tissue. Perez doesn't have the same fighting history, fighting the top 10 bantamweights his whole fucking career. Yeah. So he doesn't scar up, or he's just lucky to where he doesn't cut. It'd be like a Frankie Edgar, and you blow on his nose and it bleeds. So now Frankie Edgar loses a fight because his nose is bloody. That's fucking bullshit.
I agree. I was pissed. I agree, but I mean, I was mad because it ruined my pick. But I mean, I can see the argument for Perez. When you're watching the fight live, I can see the argument for why the judges scored for it. I disagree completely, but like I said, I hate throwing out the term robbery. I really do. And I unless it's absolutely definitely needed, and I didn't think this one constitutes a robbery as much as it does just a bad scorecard.
It was a shitty decision.
Yeah, it was.
At worst, a robbery. Okay, maybe it's hyperbole. It was a shitty, bad decision.
Like we talked about before, man. When I think of robbery, you know, we're thinking of Diego Sanchez and Ross Pearson. Unless you hit that threshold, yeah. You're not. It's That's not a robbery.
I mean, if that was the new scoring system, yeah. Pearson should have had 2 10-8s.
Yeah, I mean, so until you hit that threshold, I just cannot, in good conscience, call anything a robbery. So that's the benchmark. That is the benchmark for robbery. So. Alexander Volkanovski, mm-hmm. In my mind, the legitimate prospect at 145 pounds, not Zabit, even though I am a big fan of Zabit. I think it's Volkanovski, and he absolutely dominates Darren Elkins, and the only reason that it wasn't finished is because Darren Elkins is too tough for his own damn good.
Darren Elkins is a zombie in people clothes. That motherfucker is just moves forward. I mean...
Yeah,
you feel bad for the guy. Start to feel bad for him, but and his tenacity. Volkanovski, he beat the shit. You want to talk about not wearing damage well either? The damage was just fucked up.
Yeah, he. Oh man, Elkins needs to take some time off. Man, this guy takes too much damage. It's not healthy. I mean, you know what? It's totally entertaining watching a dude get his ass beat. That can easily beat a lot of other people's asses, but. I mean, damn, dude, you got to think about your health, man. He was dropped 3 or 4 times throughout the entire fight, and he just kept getting back up and just weathering the entire storm, and this is not good for his health.
Yeah, every time he fights, he comes out looking like Rory McDonald versus Robbie Lawler, too.
Yeah, he looking...
That's not how you want to come out of fights, man. Rory will tell you, you need to take some time off after that kind of a fight, and Elkins just gets right back in it.
I like what I like what Volkanovski said after the fight, that you know Elkins didn't have to take this fight because you know he was in the top 10 and Volkanovski's not, but he just beat him and took his spot. So
yeah,
it's what happens. I mean, I think it was going to happen eventually because Volkanovski is a legitimate title prospect here, and he called out Money Mendez, and that's the fight to make.
That will be exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait, and I hope they book it soon.
Yeah, both of them pretty much unscathed from their last fight. I mean, Volkanovski took a couple shots, but not much.
Yeah, I mean, two of the judges actually gave a round to Elkins. I don't see that.
I think it's because they thought they were counting droplets of blood on the octagon. Whoever had more won, I don't know.
Yeah, Elkins is sitting there getting his ass beat. He's like, man, I'm going to let this dude hit me in the face. Judges love that shit.
Yeah, so. Judges love that shit. Block it with my face.
Yeah. The other very contentious decision on this card, and this is where we can start getting closer to the term robbery over the other two fights. This is where we can start talking about it.
This is pretty bad. Yeah. I still think the Wineland worse.
I think this one's worse. I really do think this one's worse. Saeed Nurmagomedov, the cousin of the great Khabib Nurmagomedov, the undefeated Conor killer soon. And he gets the split decision nod over Justin Scoggins in a decision that there he had no right getting at all. Scoggins won at least 2 and 3 very definitively, very clearly, and had the argument for winning round one as well.
Yeah, I put together a little scorecard on this one as I was watching it, because I was watching it behind and I heard everybody saying, oh my God, I can't believe that decision. And I'm like, okay, let me see how this goes. I'm going to watch it closely. I gave the first round to Scoggins. Close. But he seemed to be the landing more of the punches. Second round, Nurmagomedov was chasing Scoggins around the cage as Scoggins was trying to, you know, use footwork and angles.
Yeah.
But he wasn't cutting it off. And I saw Scoggins landing, countering, landing more punches, even though he was being walked down by Nurmagomedov. He was leading that fight. So I gave him the second round. Third round was Scoggins again all the way. The only thing I do have to say is the stand-up by the referee in the third round made me fucking nauseous. Like that was Nurmagomedov's chance to win this fight. He had to get a finish.
Oh, my God.
Or if you'd have given the first round to Nurmagomedov because it was close or something, that was his chance. That was the worst stand-up I can remember.
I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because I actually forgot about that. Yeah, dude, I was fuming over that because I was like, this is bullshit. These refs that do this shit, that have these quick stand-ups because this crowd boos or whatever, they want to make it more exciting for their first trip to Idaho, of all fucking states. Who gives a shit about Idaho?
I do.
These quick stand-ups, and it completely changed the entire comp the entire complexion of that third round by doing that.
And, oh yeah.
And these refs, they're only sanctioned in the state of Idaho because I haven't seen them anywhere else. I don't remember their fucking names, but these dudes were new. They were these old ass refs that are just sitting there trying to please the crowd, man.
Yeah, it was the boos were kicking in. It's like, oh, okay, let me stand him up. But no, Nurmagomedov was working. He was trying to go from guard to half guard. He was trying to work his way up. He was trying to go cross face. He was doing things to improve his position. All right, guys, let's stand him up. It's like, what the fuck? And again, I picked Nurmagomedov because I thought he was going to get it to the ground and he was going to win a wrestling match.
Yeah.
So I got the win, so I was happy to see that. But not like that. It just, no, I would want the loss and my little pick'em so that the right guy gets the victory and his fucking win bonus.
To an extent. You know, maybe like 60-40 for the pick'em, you know, because we do have money on this. So
yes, we do, sir.
But yeah, that's all. That's the time we're gonna spend on UFC Idaho. Yeah. You know, the rest of in case anybody didn't see, Ryony Barcelos defeated Kurt Hollebaugh by knockout, which was pretty awesome. A great fight, actually. Liz Carmouche defeating Jennifer Maia, the former Invicta champion, by unanimous decision. Thought it was the great fight as well. Mark De La Rosa choking out Elias Garcia.
That was
and
nice.
Jessica Aguilar, I want to shed light on this real quick, finally getting that UFC victory. You talked about it last week when Roxanne Mataferi finally got that UFC victory.
Yep.
Jessica Aguilar, one of the pioneers of women's division, man. She was ranked number one for years. Finally gets that UFC win. Don't care about the level competition came against. It's just nice to see somebody like that get the win.
I didn't want to say anything. Hey, look, if she crushed a can, she crushed a can, but at least she got to do it wearing that UFC jersey.
Exactly. And you know what? If anybody deserves it, it was her. She's been in this game for a very long time. Now I'm waiting for the UFC somehow sign Tara LaRosa so she could get that UFC win.
That would be nice. Put that on their resume.
Yeah, right. That's all they want. Yes. Just get that name, that win in the UFC.
They've been dying for.
Man, you know, we still have a giveaway to give tonight.
We do. Unfortunately, Mr. Robert Field did not respond within the allotted 72 hours, which meant he was disqualified from winning, or whatever that term would be. So now we'll do it again.
Yeah. Now,
for another winner to respond in 72 hours.
I think it might have been in less than 72 hours, but I think he said Jason told him, so that also kind of ruined everything. But I was also getting really impatient.
Oh yeah, I don't know when it was that Jason.
I don't know, but it was Jason 3. It was 3 days, Saturday. So it was 3 days at least. It was the third day, whatever. It was Sunday. Anyways, the peeps gotta know. So, you know what? We got a fight coming this weekend. We need to talk about.
We do. A very fun and exciting main event.
It's not Friday night. It's not Saturday night. It's not even Sunday night. It's Sunday morning. Nope. The main card starts at 11 a.m. Pacific time.
That's right.
No.
Coffee and
no.
fights.
8 a.m. Pacific time. It's 11 a.m. Eastern time. So that means the very first fight's probably starting somewhere around, I don't know, 4:30 a.m., 4 a.m. So
get your TiVo ready.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I'm waking up. I'll probably be at work. Yeah. Remember TiVo's trying to be a... Remember TiVo tried to be a thing?
Yeah. Now they're just called
DVRs. Yeah.
Nice try, sucker.
Then everybody took care of it. So in the main event, Mauricio Shogun Hua on the best win streak that he's had in years.
11 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah, so he was scheduled originally to fight Volkan Ozdemir, who got pulled to fight Alexander Gustafsson.
I can't wait to see that fight.
Yeah, who then pulled out of that fight with Alexander Gustafsson.
What?
Yeah, so that's not happening. But
I'm selling my tickets now.
Yeah, no, we still got two fights that we care about before we sell the tickets. He gets replaced by Anthony Smith, who just came off of the stunning knockout victory over Rashad Evans, sending him into retirement. And I think the parameters for this fight still exist. Like, they still compute. I don't think it's a good matchup for Shogun, just like I didn't think the Ozdemir matchup was either.
I don't think it is either. But you can never count out Shogun. You never count out his power. You can never count out his tenacity. But you can discount his chin.
Yeah, and when you got somebody who has the height and reach, just the length in general of Anthony Smith.
And the power.
I think he's going to put push Shogun's lights out. As sad as it is to say, I just can't trust Shogun. I really can't.
Yeah, they're both coming in with a 76-inch reach. But Anthony Smith at 6'4" to 6'1" of Shogun is going to make Shogun have to work a little bit harder to go up on the punches, and Anthony Smith will be shooting straight off his shoulder. So I see this being a TKO victory for Anthony Smith inside the third round.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it ending completely similar to the Shogun OSP fight where
OSP sidestep, rocks him,
boom. Boop. Done. So we'll see what happens. I'm not going to say I'm going to root for Shogun, but it'd be really cool if Shogun gets this win. I know Daniel Cormier is saying that one of the fights before he retires, he wants it to be Shogun. Why? I have no idea. Maybe he's just he was a fan of the legend, but
who isn't?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan, but I just don't see it going well for him. And I really like Anthony Smith. I really like Lionheart. So we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, the calling him a up and comer is the only thing that people say about him. I don't call him. He's got like 40 fucking fights.
Yeah,
he's just new to the UFC.
He's squarely set into that gatekeeper status right now, the journeyman status, and he's starting to make his way past that. So,
yeah, I'm happy to see him there. He's looking good.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Co-main event, what was supposed to be Glover Teixeira fighting the juggernaut known as Aleir Latifi before he got injured is now...
Yes. Wait, what? Injury bug.
I was looking forward to Latifi taking that fight. I had Latifi knocking Teixeira out. So he gets the call, and now Teixeira gets to have a highlight knockout victory because he's taking on Corey Anderson, who... seemed to be the recipient of a knockout after knockout after knockout in his career.
Yeah, he leaves that chin out there, man. He tries to hug you, wrestle you, you know?
Yeah.
And grab you like, ah! And he just leaves that chin wide open to get popped. Yep. Glover Teixeira boxes his chin to shit. Yeah. I don't see this going the distance.
And I can actually see, I would actually see Glover Teixeira taking Anderson down and getting top control. And Teixeira's top control is absolutely ridiculous.
It is, and most wrestlers, like Corey Anderson's wrestling background, do not like to be on their back.
Exactly.
They're not comfortable there, and if, yeah, Teixeira's got great top control, he can do that. I don't, the only way I think he will is if they get into a clinch and he works his way into like a single or something like that. But I think he's going to want to keep it standing. He's definitely the better striker, hands down the better striker.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I completely agree. And Vitor Miranda gets the the debut in Abu Azatar, who is not a pushover in any sense of the word. Like, I hope people aren't sleeping on this guy just because he's making his UFC debut. He was from World's Series of Fighting. He was part of KSW. The man is 13-2-1. He's on like a 4-5-6 win streak. Might be 7 or 8. I don't know. And he's really good, and it's a very tough fight for Vitor Miranda, and I don't think it's a fight Miranda gets out of. I do think the debuting fighter gets it.
I'm going to have to completely agree with you there. I think it's going to be a decision, but it's going to be Azatari is going to look great on his feet.
Yeah,
he's going to piece him up. I don't think it's like a piece him apart, but he's the more technical striker. I think he's going to look that in this fight.
I agree completely. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see him actually finishing Miranda, but this is going to be a great striking. This actually has the makings of being fight of the night if they just stand on the feet and just strike. The only thing that Abu's got going against him is he is a natural welterweight, but I still think his technique is going to take it. So,
yeah, he's going to be faster. His technique is there, which is going to help him be more elusive in his strike. So that's where I'm.
In heavyweight action, Marcin Tybura taking on Stefan Struve. Both guys, I believe, coming off losses. And I think Marcin's coming on multiple. I don't know. Was his last fight Derek Lewis? It might have been Derek Lewis.
Where he was winning
the fight before he got caught in the third.
Yeah, he got clipped by Derek Lewis. That was, I believe, his last fight, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is a great heavyweight fight. I think somebody's going to sleep either by knockout, as in Tybura knocks out Struve, or Struve gets a choke on him. Struve's got a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I think he can do his thing if he just uses his length on the ground, but it's this is a close fight.
Struve doesn't do good to these stalking, heavy-handed, shorter guys, which shorter guys is pretty much fucking everybody. He's 6'3" going in on 6'11" Struve.
All right.
Struve, he's getting better. He's at ATT now, at learning how to keep people at the end of his jab, but he's still kind of slow in his footwork and moving. You don't just leave your jab out there and hope they don't come inside. You've got to move off of that. You got to find the angle off of that. But I think Marcin's going to get inside and he's going to find that chin, and I think he's going to win via stoppage.
I have nothing to argue about that. Yeah, I have nothing to argue. In welterweight action, Danny Hot Chocolate Roberts. He was supposed to be fighting Alan Joban, which I thought was going to be a great fight, and unfortunately Joban got injured, neck injury, which is really shitty. Gets replaced by David Sagat Zawada.
So what?
Yeah, David Sagat Zawada. It's a kick-ass nickname, man. Obviously from Street Fighter. 16-3. He's on a 5-fight win streak coming in, mostly known for, once again, KSW. I think this is another great fight. Another fight that's just going to be held up on the feet the entire time. And this also has a shot at being fight of the night. But I do like Danny Roberts to take this one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's going to be a kickboxing match. It's going to be fun. But I think Danny Roberts is not necessarily going to be out technical. He's going to be out confident. He's going to be out pacing Zawad. That's what I think. I'm not super familiar. I haven't seen all of David Zawada's fights. But I just, from what I have seen, I think he is going to be outpaced. And it's just,
I hope he walks out with the eye patch and everything like Sagat has, and like, remember how Angela Hill did the weigh-ins dressed like Sagat?
Yeah, no, that was awesome. It would be great if he did, but it'd have to have a Reebok logo on the eye patch.
Yeah, which is fine.
How many times are we going to use that joke when we want him to be personal and then say, oh, put a Reebok sticker on it. It'll be good.
And opening up the main card at whatever time it's going to be for everybody, Nasrat Haqparast taking on the cooling flame of Mark Dykeasy.
Is that a gay reference?
No, it's like his fire, his flame, his star power is going down, man. I mean,
his last performance was lacking.
a lot of his performance has been lacking. Unless he's able to lead the dance, his performances are lacking. I mean, granted, he lost the split decision to Jakar Close, who just beat Lando Venata. He's actually a great fighter. And he lost to Dan Hooker, who is now in the top 15. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And this, to me, is a rebound fight for Daikizi.
It is.
Yeah, it's set up to make him look good.
And I hope that it does, because I enjoy watching him fight when he's at his best.
Yeah.
When he's doing his thing, he's fun, he's exciting. Like a somewhat smaller, less technical, less mind game type of fighter is Israel Adesanya. Not just because they're both black guys, but just the way they throw punches and the way they kind of move and the little different angles that they present. I like that. I just don't think he has the same MMA IQ does to Cassie right now.
Yeah, no, I agree. Daikizi.
Daikizi.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
I like him, man. I want to see him comfortable in that octagon again. I want him to get this victory, get this tune-up fight, which the UFC in the past hasn't given anybody ever. Oh, you lose a couple fights, right? Now we're going to throw you to a lion and just get rid of you. It's like, no, now they're going to give him a chance because he does have star power. He's got the personality. He's got the look. He's got the skill. Mm-hmm. If he can work on some of his MMA fighting IQ. His kickboxing IQ is good. It's just not translating to MMA. So, DeCasey, I'm pulling for you, buddy. Don't think you stop him, but I think you win a good decision.
I think he gets a knockout in the first. I really do. I think it's set up for that. Yeah, I think it's set up for him to do that. So we'll see what happens, though. I mean, I think it's a great card. I can't wait. If I'm working, I can't wait. If I'm not working, then I'm going to definitely watch it live. I'll wake up. That's how I do it. So
yes, if you wake up every morning, it's a good thing. We all need to. We all should.
Giveaway time, right? Should we do it now, or should we talk about some news first and do it at the end, or should we do it now and then talk about news?
We can do it now and keep all the viewer engaged. Hi, viewer. Viewer, are you engaged?
So I guess, yeah.
Yeah, who is? Say hi, hoops, to there.
So I guess this time I got my volume up for this this good old device here.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you see it.
Kind of hard to see. You got to get it and hold it up there for a minute so they can focus in.
Boom, got everybody's name. So should we just do it? The giveaway for the MMA The Max t-shirt and coffee mug, something that we don't even own. The coffee mug that
I know, dude. I want a coffee mug. Those things are fucking cool looking.
My hair's all like fucking everywhere. Don't worry, man. I'm working on some cool stuff. Baseball tee would be really cool. So
tees, boxers.
Hoodies, zip-up hoodies.
A baller hat, so I can take my hat off to people here.
Maybe some
mustache cream.
MMA The Max condoms.
Do they make them in your size?
Yeah.
Extra small.
Maybe an MMA The Max dildo, so if you don't like our show, you can go fuck yourself.
That was good.
That's a classic one. Anyways, let's see who's going to win. Everybody ready?
Are you ready? Should we post on the social media about to do the draws?
Watch
us live.
Yeah, we could do that, and then we'll just talk about some fights. We got some people that are asking some questions, so sorry, people. Yeah.
We'll do a little Q&A after we do the giveaway, Mike. Because
we can answer some questions. But so I want to get to this one real quick. Chase Moore earlier, I told him I'd get to it. Asked.
Oh yes, yeah, you did.
How do we think? DC is going to beat Brock Lesnar and get past the physicality, his size, and everything like that.
Oh, I can tell you, but I'll let you say it because it's probably the exact same thing that I'm going to say.
Because after we just got done talking about condoms, size don't matter, especially in the heavyweight division. Cain Velasquez himself proved this. DC is trains. Year round, day after day, with Cain Velasquez, who took everything Brock had and then put a beating on him. Now, I know that's MMA math. I'm just using that as an example. But the fact of the matter is, Daniel Cormier has speed, which, now don't get me wrong, Brock has speed, but Daniel Cormier is going to be faster. He has better hands.
Yes.
He has better head movement. He has better footwork. He has better wrestling.
Yes.
He has better technique. He has a better chin.
Yes.
He has a way better chin. Because he has not been dropped or hurt by punches ever. Well,
Other than
not dropped. I take that back. I mean, Anthony Johnson dropped him with that punch. but he got right back up and dominated the rest of the fight. But
John Jones put him to sleep with the head kick.
Yeah, he dropped. He got the head kick. The punches are just formality. It was the head kick that
punches.
Did it.
Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, punches haven't dropped him. Gotcha.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't see Brock Lesnar throwing a high kick anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I told him when he was texting me about it. Yeah, Brock Lesnar's not going to throw a high kick. Can Brock Lesnar get him down?
Oh, you were texting DC?
Yeah, right. No, Chase. But if, can Brock Lesnar get him down? Maybe. Most likely. I mean, if he bull rushes it, I just don't see it happening. I think DC's going to... He's going to move. He's gonna circle out, and Brock's gonna be put against the fence, and DC's gonna unload.
DC will win this fight. Let's look at the last time Brock Lesnar had somebody on their back. It was Shane Carwin, who's like a fish out of water, who's doesn't have great jiu-jitsu skills. And let's be honest, if you're on your back, that's where you need jiu-jitsu the most, right? Top position is okay, but wrestling can subdue. Wrestling doesn't teach you how to get off your back, because when you're on your back, it's over, right?
Yeah.
So the last person was Lesnar. Or Lesnar had his back was Carwin. DC isn't going to be like Carwin. DC is not going to be a typical wrestler, a fish out of water. He's going to be able to shrimp up. He's going to be able to push off. He's going to get away. He's going to stay active. And the best thing that Brock's going to be able to do is, again, he wasn't even in Carwin's guard. He wasn't playing any position. He was playing brute force. Brute force isn't going to beat pure skill and talent. No. And size difference isn't that much.
Not at all.
We're talking 30 pounds at that size, you know, with 15% weight difference. Like you said, he's got the speed. He's got the strength. No, not the strength. It's the only thing he doesn't have. He's got the speed. He's got the timing. He's got the skill. He's got the training. He's got the technique. He's got everything that Brock doesn't have. Brock has size.
Yeah, that's all he has. That's all he has.
That's all he's got. I mean, he's athletic, and he can move well for a guy of size, but he can move better.
I mean, let's just say this. If Brock Lesnar, straight out of college, went into MMA and did nothing but train MMA, he'd be the best fighter of all time, in my opinion. Easily.
He'd be the GOAT of all time.
Yeah, no debate. He would be the best heavyweight fighter and the best fighter, period.
Correct.
He's that freakish of an athlete. But on the other, unfortunately, Daniel Cormier is that much better than him right now. So it's a lost opportunity. So
absolutely a lost opportunity, but it'll be fun to watch when it happens.
Yep, it will. So, hey, you know what? We answered that one. Let's get to the giveaway.
Give it away now.
Yep. So, MMA the Max t-shirt, MMA the Max mug. Got everybody's name on here. If it doesn't come into view, don't worry. The volume's up. It will say the name out loud. So.
Are you ready
for some football? Oh. And the lucky winner is Andy Mata. So, Andy Mata, if you're watching, let us know. Collect the t-shirt. If you're not, you got 3 days. You got till Sunday.
So, we'll keep doing this shit, sucker. Don't tempt us. We will repeat the same shit every week.
Yeah. So, hey, it works, man. So, we give it away. So, if you either got it or you don't. Now, Mike Oliver was asking about the Colby Covington situation and Woodley situation. So in case anybody missed that, as far as we were all aware, Mike Burlon, seeing your video live again makes me feel good. I'm not the only one that grows the reverse Hitler stash. I like
that's why I shaved mine.
no, see, here's the thing, Mike, is it doesn't grow like I don't do it like that. It literally grows with the missing piece in the center of my lip. They don't connect. That's just how it grows. So, So for anybody that didn't see it, Darren Till all of a sudden starts calling out Woodley for turning down a fight, and Woodley just has no idea what the fuck's going on.
And yeah, then, he's like, what?
Yeah, what are you talking about? I'm fighting Colby. And then, all of a sudden, Darren Till is telling Woodley himself that, like, Colby's out, injured or whatever. You're going to fight. The UFC's offering me the fight. And Woodley's just like, damn, this is a fucking shit show. Because apparently nobody offered the fight to Woodley.
Yeah, Woodley didn't know anything about it. This is, again, what the UFC does is they... Well, I guess in this case, it was Till announcing fights before anything's agreed upon. Yeah, Woodley's like, no, I'm fighting Queefington. And he goes, no, he's out. Fight me. Sign it. And he goes, sign what, motherfucker?
I don't have a contract.
Yeah, why is Covington out?
I don't know.
Injury didn't say shit. Like
from reports, he said he was like wasn't gonna be ready to fight again until like November, December. Probably wanted to be on that Madison Square Garden card, but they wanted to put that fight on the September card, UFC 228, as the main event over Montano and Shevchenko. So
yeah, that would have been a good fight. It would have been a good time for it. I don't understand. So maybe they're going to strip Covington of his interim belt,
which I disagree with. I think it's so stupid. He earned it. I mean, I didn't think he'd win, but he damn sure won that fight. And what's the point of bringing the interim titles in if you're just going to strip the interim champion? I mean, Woodley's been out this entire time, and I don't agree with stripping him. But I mean, come on. Now, if Woodley's wanting to fight and not wait, that's another story. But Woodley had no idea.
Well, yeah, Woodley didn't even know about the. I think he was aware that they were in talks of a fight with Covington at 228.
Yeah,
but he didn't know that Covington was out. So that's what I think Woodley. I don't know if Woodley wants to fight Till though. I think Woodley can beat him. I think it's too soon for Till. But fuck it, I'll watch it. Make it happen.
Yeah, I'll watch it. I'm firmly in the camp of Woodley, to be honest. In that fight, I do think Woodley beats him. So,
dude, this is the Joe and Robert agree episode.
I like Till a lot, but I do think Woodley beats him. I don't see a lot of welterweight fighters beating Woodley.
No, I think Till in a few years with some more top contenders under his belt with some, I want to see him against another real wrestler before he goes in against someone like the Woodley doesn't necessarily use his wrestling to win. Yeah. It's always in the back pocket and he's so fucking explosive and powerful.
Yeah. And let's not forget they're rewarding a guy a title shot after he missed weight.
Yeah. You know how I feel about that.
Yeah. So, I mean,
missed weight by a fucking lot. Not now, just a little bit.
A lot of people, like 10 pounds or something. Like a lot of people were talking about Yoel Romero still getting his title shot. That was a little different circumstance. His fight that he missed weight for originally was for the interim title that he missed, and then he beat the number one contender, Luke Rockhold. What else are you supposed to fucking do? In this situation, we have an interim champion who just needs like 2 months. Longer than what you want. And the shit's making me defend Colby Covington. But I think, you know, he's the interim champion. He deserves his title shot. He earned it.
That's how big of a villain Dana White is. It's so bad that you can defend Covington over Dana White's actions.
Dana White go fuck himself with some of the shit he does, man. Seriously.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but we have to give hats off to Brendan Schaub. That was the best comeback.
Well,
put Dana White in his fucking place, dude.
Did you see that Brian Ortega on the on Brendan Schaub's podcast and talking about how he didn't get paid anything. Dana White tried to tell him, we did our job by offering you the Stevenson fight or the Stevenson Stevens fight, and you turned it down, so you didn't do your job, so you're not getting paid.
No, he did his job to show up to and fight Max weight. Holloway yeah. and make weight. I did. That was my job. That's my first thing to do. I do that. I get my paycheck. I beat him. You give me a bonus.
Yeah, that
he signed a contract.
They're not paying
to
him
fight
anything.
Max Holloway. That's bullshit. He should fucking to refuse to fight. Sucks for him. But that's litigation. I signed a contract to fight this person. This person was pulled from the fight. I showed up. I made weight. I did everything I was contractually obligated to do.
Yeah. No.
You asked me to fight somebody else. Did you see what happened to Frankie Edgar when he fought me on short notice?
Yeah.
Think I want to fucking take that chance? He did that as a smart decision. I don't fault a guy like that, especially when you know that Max is going to be back in short time once he gets this figured out, or Max will be medically unfit for a while, whatever happens, strip the belt, and he's number one contender, or he goes and he loses to Stevens, and then it's Stevens Edgar fighting for the belt, and he's out of the fucking picture. Because Edgar's always going to be right there in that picture.
Yeah, and that whole idea about Edgar and Steve, man, that was such a dumb idea. But, yeah, I mean,
I'm glad Edgar's family told him not to take that fight.
Yeah, so either way, man, yeah, Dana White's the villain here. I'm on Covington's side. I'm on Ortega's side.
And I'm on Schaub's side.
Yeah, I'm on Schaub's side. And I'm on Bullet Shevchenko's side as she finally gets the title shot signed. UFC 228 champion Nico Montana defending her championship.
Enjoy
finally. Yeah, enjoy it while you can.
She enjoyed it while she hit sleep with it now. because it's gone.
It's gone. It's a bullet show.
Once Shevchenko gets it, I literally cannot see any woman at 125 taking it from her. I can't.
I don't think there's anybody that can. But
her sister is the next closest thing, and I don't think they're going to fight each other. And she just got her UFC contract, and she's a good striker, but I don't think she's in the realm of Shevchenko with overall MMA. Or Shevchenko is not in the same realm as Shevchenko.
Yeah, but well, I don't know, man. I think your sister's a better striker, but in terms of MMA striking, I think Bullitt's definitely got it.
Yeah, she's more the MMA fighter, and her sister is more the straight striker, which is fine. But I'm super happy about that fight. I love it when she fights. She's fun, exciting, good fighter. Carolina Kovacevich versus Jessica Andrade also announced for that card.
Yep.
That's fucking going to be good.
That's going to be a sick fight.
Super stoked.
Yep, unfortunately, I'll be on Andrade's side on that one. Like, I think she wins.
Can't be on any side but KK's, dude. That's just the way it goes.
And I don't think Andrade should have to take this fight. I think she's more than earned her title shot against Rose right now. So
I agree with you as well, and I don't like to fight for KK either because Andrade is a fucking beast.
She's a pit bull, man.
I love Carolina, but I want her to win so bad, but if the Pick'em League made it to UFC 228, I guess our league is still going to carry on. I'm going to pick Andrade.
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Even though I want Carolina to win, I'll be rooting for her. I'm a big fan. Yeah. But Andrade is fucking good. She is fucking good. Mean, aggressive, hits hard, quick, strong on a takedown, strong on the top game.
All right. No, I agree. And so let's talk about, before we sign off. Yes, sorry, sir. I'm trying to go through the comments real quick to see if I missed anything really interesting.
Doesn't look like it.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bellator. They announced their welterweight Grand Prix tourney. And the difference in this one here is that every fight is going to have that Rory's in is going to have his title on the line, meaning that there could potentially be 2 to 3 new welterweight champions within one tournament.
Possibly, depending if they're seated, he's seated number one. He should be fighting seated number 8.
Yeah.
And so, or number 10, it's a 10-man tournament somehow. Or maybe it's an 8-man and they have an alternate fight. Whoever wins that one can be an alternate. Because I heard there's 9 names now with another name to be named later.
Which turned out to be Paul Daly as he signed his new contract.
Who'd have thunk it?
And is expected to face MVP in the first round like we were all hoping. Can't wait.
Cannot wait.
But yeah, I mean, you take Rory McDonald in this tournament and he loses his opening fight. That guy's the new champ. That guy loses his next fight. The other guy's the new champ, and so on. Like it's pretty crazy. It's pretty cool. I like it. And I've seen people online saying, "Well, Bader didn't have to do it." It's like, yeah, well, Bader's not in a tournament in his weight class.
Yeah, it's not his weight class.
It's not the same.
Up a division. So it was like if Rory entered instead of going to fight Musasi for the middleweight belt, if he entered the middleweight tournament, why would he have to put his belt on the line against middleweights?
Exactly.
Why would? I think Bader needs to be a 2-division champ and or. Dude, he looks so fucking good at heavyweight.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, going back to the welterweight tourney, I think if Bellator is smart, they need to keep Rory and MVP on 2 different sides of the bracket.
Yes.
Because I think there's a really good chance that those two are in the finals.
Yeah, I think so. I think you put Rory up against, I hate to say it, but like Neiman Gracie first. Let him take that win. I love Gracie, but I think Rory outstrikes him.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good one for him. MVP, we know, is going to go up against my brain just farted. Oh, you just Paul Daly.
Yeah.
I think MVP beats Daly.
Oh, Keith Schillen. Thanks. I didn't catch that news. Keith Schillen. McDonald's facing Larkin in the opening round. So.
Oh, Larkin. Well, now I can't go against Riverside's own, but I'm such a big Rory fan. God damn it.
Gracie's facing Fitch, so he could get Fitch.
Smart. Yeah, smart, well, man. I heard Neiman Gracie got okay jiu-jitsu, so I don't know if he's going to get pitched by Fitch.
Yeah.
No, Neiman, stand up.
Neiman Gracie is the best Gracie in MMA. I mean, like, the way he looks. Striking everything.
Yeah, his
So
yeah, he looks like one of the better MMA fighters as a whole. Not to mention he's got decent jiu-jitsu. Yeah.
So like I was saying about keeping Rory McDonald and MVP separate on two sides of the bracket, the reason why I say that is because, and I said that they could possibly meet in the finals, but he's saying it's not official news, but he's figuring out by process elimination, and you know what? It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I think MVP could beat Rory. And I will offer I will offer one piece of evidence as to why. The Wonder Boy fight. MVP can do to Rory what Wonder Boy did to Rory.
But MVP
he has the skills to do it. Now, will Wonderboy. I say that I will bet on MVP and if they fight? No, most likely not. But I think he can. He can elude Rory long enough and over five rounds like that to win a fight or possibly catch him. I really do. I think he's got the skills to do it, the striking skills. Now Rory gets him on the ground, you know, that's out the window. So I guess the caveat is if it's a striking battle.
Gets him on the ground and it's over that fight. Whatever round he gets him on the ground, as long as there's, you know, 2 or 3 minutes left, it's fucking done for.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to pick MVP over Daly, personally. I really am. That might ruffle some people's feathers because a lot of people don't like MVP because, you know, he's a can crusher or what have you. But I'm going to pick him over Daly. So
I am too, but again, that left hand that Daly has, you can never count it out. But
of course,
I'm going to pick Paige over Daly as well.
Yeah, I agree, completely agree.
And why Larkin? Damn it!
Damn, is he ever going to win a fight at Bellator?
I know Riverside Zone's just getting fucked with, dude.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? I gotta get Scott on the phone and tell him, hey, you know, help him out. Why don't you give him somebody easy? He's a marketable name.
Yeah, and I guess Juan Archuleta was posting that he said he got the okay from Coker to be an alternate for the welterweight tourney.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Yeah.
Featherweight. That'd be cool. That'd be cool.
I think he was joking, but I thought that was funny.
So he'd have to put on a couple pounds.
Yeah.
No cutting weight there.
Did we miss any of the news to talk about? I mean, I know PFL happened tonight, and I think it might still be happening. I'm not sure. No, it's over because Keith's here. He covers it for the MMA Takeover.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's finished.
Is there any news? Do we want to spoil everything? What's the news? You got news?
I believe Palmer wins.
Lance Palmer, good.
I believe. I may have misread a tweet, but was just trying to focus on the show a little
more. Yeah, did we miss any fight announcements? Did we not talk about anything?
No, I know I just talked about Kjelkovic versus Andrade, Ellenberger Barbarina. We've known about that one. That one's booked. So, yeah, I don't know. I already announced Lima versus Korshakov, Finch versus Gracie,
Ed Ruth versus
Amrazov.
Ed Ruth's a beast.
That's that. Yeah. We'll see, man.
Is that it?
Max Holloway just mentioned something on his condition from Bisbing, blah, blah, danger of the sport. Thank you for being a true friend and calling me out on TV. Yeah, he's just back getting examined. There's been no diagnosis of what Holloway's.
Here's what I wanted to talk about. Here's what I wanted to ask you and talk about. So, reports. Cain Velasquez.
Yeah.
Was seen training at the WWE Performance Center.
Why not?
I think his fighting career is over. Why not go make the money?
If you're getting that hurt, I guess you can take steroids and
dude, he can do it. Like he could be a star.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking, I know those guys get banged up to a fucking no degree.
Yeah.
But you can take all the human growth hormone and fucking cortisone shots and steroids and shit you want when you're fighting the WWE.
Yeah.
So he can heal up that way, the natural way, the way doctors intended one to heal.
Mark Hunt, Alexei Olenek is the main event of UFC Moscow.
Yep, that one's a good one.
So Mark Hunt's still taking fights as he sues the company. And a question that was asked earlier about Anderson Silva is cleared and will be eligible to fight in October. Do you care?
Cleared of what? USADA.
They figured out that USADA found that it was a tainted substance. Only gave him a year suspension, and that's up in October.
Anderson, who? What have you done for me lately?
I was gonna say, do you even care that he's coming back?
No, you see, I always say this. I'll watch the fight, but it's like this. I feel bad. Like, do I want Anderson Silva to fight because he loves it? Yes. Has he been one of the most fun fighters to watch ever? Yes. If I never saw him fight again, would I be sad? No.
Yeah, I like Keith Schillen's comment. That motherfucker can't fight three times a year, but he's gonna go perform like 50 weeks a year.
Yeah, that's what my thoughts were, man. That's exactly what my thoughts were. How the fuck is he going to do that? But that's what I'm saying. He gets hurt, he can heal up real quick on some of Mother Nature's best.
Yeah, man. That's fun. Yeah, so I think that's all we have, man. I tried to stretch it out a little bit so to get at least the show content to a good, like, hour and a five. So
there's actual content? We were live already? Fuck!
Yeah, you know. We'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. We got a pretty nice show next week. If I'm not mistaken, we not only going to review the Shogun Anthony Smith fight, but
yes,
next week is the very special Dana White Tuesday Night Contender Series.
With? Give me a round of applause.
Damn, that's fucked up.
That was fucked up. That was fucked up. But you laughed, man.
Yeah, that's just, you're messed up, man.
Dude, I love Nick Newall. I was fucking pulling for him this whole time. I know I didn't think the UFC was going to actually give him a shot. But fuck it, they are. Take it. He should win. He's a great fighter.
Yeah, he's most likely going to win. And if he does, he will get a contract. Because, I mean, I think they're going to cash in on his marketability being the one-armed fighter. Or one-handed, whatever.
It wasn't me. It was a one-armed man.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a very special contender series, so we're definitely going to watch and talk about that. So
Tuesday night.
I don't know, maybe we'll try to get Keith on this show. We've been trying to schedule that for a while, so we'll see. He might have to cover PFL, though. So,
We'll need a real expert, someone who knows what the fuck they're talking about. That'd be great, right?
Well, it would actually be so cool, because what Keith does is he now writes for Fansided.com, and he covers and previews all the Tuesday night contender series for Fansided, so... It's pretty good, pretty good. He knows his shit, and it's well written. So definitely check out his shit on fansided.com as well as themmmatakeover.com. So on that note,
yes, thank you, Keith.
I think we're good, man. Let's get our social media out and get out of here.
If you want to get a hold of me on Instagram, which I am now gramming more frequently, not as much as I should be, but I'm gramming
probably more than me.
You can
nowadays.
Reach me. I know, sucka. MMA to the max Joe, and as always, the 2 is the number 2. You want to see some of my tweets, you can get me Twitter at JoeHud45.
Nice.
Thank you.
You want to find me on Instagram, it's at MMA to the max Rob. As always, the 2 is the number 2. Find me on Twitter at It's Rock Robster. Find the show on Twitter at MMA to the max Show. Find us on Facebook, always at facebook.com/MMA to the max podcast. Definitely check out our sponsors, Loot Crate and Gamefly. The links have been scrolling down on the screen the entire time. Find us on YouTube. Search up MMA The Max Podcast. Find our shows as well as all sorts of other type of content at W2Mnet.com. You can find MMA The Max as well as all your podcast and article content, I guess. I'm asleep, so I'm not doing this as well as I usually do. Yeah, from anything from sports,
what's
video games,
excuse?
Movies, and entertainment. Once again, Andy Mata, congratulations on getting the shirt and the mug if you get to us by Sunday. So we'll see what happens. If not, we'll do it again next week.
Ask Robert Fields what happens, dude.
Yeah.
Cut that shit off.
Yeah. I will put a stop to that shit right quick.
Right quick. Yeah.
I will cut that shit off.
Put some respect
off.
On my name.
Right.
Put some respect on my name.
As always, find our shows audio anywhere you can find them on Spreaker, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, anywhere you want to find them. I'm passing out. I'm getting super tired, so I think we'll have to end it on this note.
Which note's that?
C.
All right.
So, for my co-host, Joseph Hudson, a.k.a. Riverside Joe, I am Robert Taylor. This has been MMA to the Max, and we will see you next week.
See ya!
The previous podcast has been an original W2Mnet.com production. For more great content like this, go to W2Mnet.com for the worlds of wrestling, video games, entertainment, and sports.